I'm going to pray for us, and then we will read God's word. Almighty God, thank you that you have gathered us here together for your work in our lives. Please speak to us through the Bible, and as we think about it, encourage us where we need encouraging, comfort us where we need comforting, teach us where we need teaching, rebuke us where we need rebuke. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. So that's the Peter who was the friend of Jesus, who went around with him. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. That's who the letter is written to. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power, that's God's divine power, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. For as we know God, we have all we need for a godly life. Verse 4, through these things, through his power and our knowledge of him, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. That's what God has done for us. Verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, please keep that passage open. We're going to be looking at it together. I'm going to pull this table across with my visual aids. See, we've got a big case in here, big enough to fit some of you in, isn't it? What's in there? What's the zip? I can imagine what's going to be in there. Well, what do we, I'm going to be thinking about what we need. What do we really need? If you go to school, well, that makes a sound difference, doesn't it? If you go to school, you need a school jumper. There's Alexis's school jumper. And you'll need your book bag with your books in it. And you might need packed lunch box. Have they left anything in here? I can't even know. Oh, no. It's empty. They've eaten it, haven't they? I guess it's been holidays, so it's empty. That's what you need for school. You have to have those things. You have to have your packed lunch box. You have to take your school bag. You have to be wearing a uniform. Need those for school. Now, I don't need any of those if I'm going swimming. Don't have to have school uniform for swimming. Don't need packed lunch box for swimming. What do I need if I'm going swimming? Have I got the stuff? Yes, I have. Got my swimming bag. And in my swimming bag, I've got, well, actually, this isn't me going swimming, as you know. That's someone else going swimming. That's their costume. What else? Oh, they need their goggles, so their eyes don't sting from the chlorine water. And a towel for drying them. Ooh, they're not very big, are they? A towel for drying themselves afterwards. And... oh, yeah, they've got to take the purse with money for the bus, maybe, and definitely money for going in the swimming pool. That's what you need for swimming. Don't need a book bag, don't need packed lunchbox, don't need school uniform, but that's your swimming kit. Big case. Oops, never done that. Big case. What if I'm going to go on an aeroplane to Accra or Lagos? Well, I might need a big bag, a big case like this. Everyone else on the aeroplane's got a big case. What am I going to put in my big case when I'm going there? Well, I've got to have my aeroplane ticket to get on the aeroplane. When I get to the other end, I need my passport. Didn't I look young then? With a picture of me so I can get into the country. And when I get there, I'm hoping it's going to be sunny. So I want my sunglasses. And my family tell me that there's a little bit where there's less and less hair. So I probably need this, keep the sun off my eyes, stop that little bit burning. Don't know why I need such a big bag for all that, though. But anyway, that's what I need. I need my ticket, my passport, my sun hat, and my sunglasses, and I'm ready to go. What do we need for life? What do we need for life? That's what Peter's talking about in this passage. Verse 3, God's divine power has given us everything we need for godly life. And that's not lunchboxes and uniforms and swimming goggles. It's other things that we need for life. People today say what we really need is owning lots of things, having lots of friends, having lots of money, having lots of peace, having lots of pleasures. Although those we can begin with possessions, popularity, power, peace, pleasures. That's what we need, they tell us. Well, we want those things and we might want them for our children, but what do we actually need, does God say? Peter says that knowing Jesus is super important. It's at the beginning and at the end of this letter he writes to Christians. So verse 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And if you turn the page, see how short Peter's little letter is. Very last sentence of the book. So turn the page. I need to hear the papers moving like this. Just one page, chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So right at the beginning, right at the end, knowing Jesus. That's what we need, Peter says. Because knowing Jesus links us with life with God. Verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us. So through our knowing him, we have everything we need for our godly life. Verse 4, through your knowledge of him, he's given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, have life with God, having escaped the corruption in the world. So when we know Jesus, we escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. That's the twistedness, the rottenness, the spoiled things that happen because I'm so selfish and I think I know best and that hurts you. That's the corruption in the world that Christians are being rescued from. So good life starts with knowing Jesus. What does that mean to know Jesus? Is it like, you see a picture and think, I know him. That's Jesus. Well, can't because we don't know what he looked like. We don't know Jesus like that. Can it be like, I know all the facts about Jesus, like football fans, they know how many goals that their favorite player scored. No, it's not just knowing facts about Jesus. It's knowing Jesus, the person who has come to rescue us. So we trust him. It means obeying Jesus, the Lord, who is king. So we serve him. We trust the Savior. We serve the Lord. That's what it means to know Jesus. And then that's got to have an effect on us, Peter says. Verse 5. So I'm back onto page 1222, where it says 2 Peter at the top. Verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add. And then he's got a list of things we've got to add on. You see, because God gives us everything we need through knowing Jesus, God says, get more of it. He says, I give you everything you need for life by knowing Jesus. You need to get more of that life. And he's got a list, and it's not a list of jobs we've got to do. These are a list of things that connect up with what God has already done. Mark, I've got a series of slides here that will show this. If you put the first one up. So God has done something to you if you belong to Jesus. And then you've got to live a life that connects with that. So you can see here on the left-hand side is all the things that God has done. This is verses one, two, three, and four are there. And then this is the list of things to add on. And what I'm going to show you, it might not help you, but for some of us, it might help. I'm sure how the things God has done, they're matched with what we've got to do. Okay, God has already started in our lives, and that connects with what we're to do. So the next slide, Peter says, add faith. Well, verse one says, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith. How did we have trust in God? God gave it to us. He's given us trust. Add faith. Then to faith, we add goodness. Okay, that's something about God. God is good. That's what he is. So verse three, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And we're to have goodness in our life. Now we belong to Jesus. So faith, goodness. Next one, add knowledge. We get knowledge from God. Verse three, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him. We get knowledge from him. And he says, add to that knowledge. Find out more. So faith, goodness, knowledge. Next one, self-control. So the very end there, it says Christians have escaped the evil desires, the way of the corrupt world, which is that rottenness, that selfishness, when I think I know better and I hurt you. If we belong to Jesus, we've escaped that. But so we're to do more of that self-control. Next one, perseverance means keeping going. It's something we do when we trust God's promises. Verse 4, through his power and knowledge of him, he's given us his very great and precious promises. When we hear those promises, it helps us keep going. Next one, godliness. We're to have godliness. God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. If he's given it to us, we need to put it into practice. It's not something we're making up so that God notices us. It's something he's already given to us. It belongs to us if we belong to Jesus. And so we're now to put it into practice. And the next one, mutual affection. So I won't take you through all of these words, but we together have received a faith as precious as other Christians. So we're in the same thing together. It's an us thing being a Christian. And therefore we're to have affection for each other. If we don't have these things, if we're not adding these things to our lives, what does it mean? Look at verse 9. What does it mean if we don't add these things? What does it mean? Yeah, it's a bad thing. Yeah. Don't know what that means. What does it mean if we don't have these things from verse 9? Someone tell me, what does verse 9 say? It means you're short-sighted and blind and you've forgotten. Okay, short-sighted people, it doesn't mean they can't see anything. It just means they see things that are near. They can't see the big picture. They can't see further away. How much can blind people see? How much can blind people see? Nothing. That's right. And if we've forgotten, it means we're not thinking about it anymore. So that's saying these people, they don't understand. If these ways of living are not coming into your life more and more, you don't understand who you are now. You belong to Jesus. They must be there because God has given you knowledge of Jesus and it's got to change you. God gives us what we need through our knowledge of Jesus. And he says, get more of it. We're escaping from the corruption in the world. The selfishness that is rotten and spoils and twists things. We've been escaping from that. So we must live the new life, the godly life that God's given us. Let me read verse 10 and 11. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. So that means to sort of show that it's certain. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble. You won't fall over and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Your life must fit with knowing Jesus. God's given you what you need. You need to know Jesus, and then that's going to change you. Now, lots of people today will say, yeah, it's good to be kind. It's good to work hard. It's good to listen. But they don't want the Jesus part. They want religion to make us good people, but not the Jesus bit. That's the crazy part. But Peter says it all begins with Jesus. When we start to know Jesus, that's what will change us. So parents, this should be your priority for your children. Knowing Jesus is most important. It's what they need. Yes, they need to learn how to cross the road. They will need to learn how to use a phone. They will need how to have a bank account and have a job. But knowing Jesus is most important. If they know him, it will be changing them into a way that will make them effective in this life anyway. I mean, look at these characteristics. They'll be hard workers. They'll be good friends. They'll make good choices. That'll make life go well for them. But it begins with knowing Jesus. So pray for that for your children and bring them to church and Sunday school. And when you can, look at the Bible with them at home and pray with them. Talk to them about it. Children, you're going back to school this week. Some of you are going back to college. Can you guess what they're going to say? The first assembly, they're going to say, you're back to school. Time to work hard. Concentrate. It's the summer term. Now, if you belong to Jesus, you don't need someone to tell you that, because you're someone who's got self-control and perseverance and goodness. You're not going to be a silly person in class. You don't need someone to tell you that. The teachers have to say it to everyone. But if you belong to Jesus, you should already be having those things going in your life anyway. God gives us what we need through our knowledge of Jesus. Get more of it. Let's think about what each of those things is very quickly. Goodness. Add to your faith goodness. Goodness means doing what's right and kind. What's true. Knowledge. Go for more knowledge, knowing who God is and knowing what he wants in your life. Self-control. That means thinking about what I do before I do it. Not being controlled by the corruption of evil desires in the world, just letting my feelings tell me. The problem is not that we get too excited. The problem is we get excited about the wrong things, according to God. So that's self-control. Perseverance is keeping going. Godliness, that means letting God change me in all parts of my life. All the relationships. Mutual affection. That's caring for other people who belong to Jesus. And love means I want what's good for you. And I'm going to do something that's going to be good for you, even if it costs me. That's what love is. Love is I want what's good for you. And I'm going to do what's good for you, even if it costs me. Now that's a big list, isn't it? And Peter says, verse 5, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith all these things in this list. Verse 10, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling election, to show that you know Jesus. How are we going to make every effort? What does that mean? Well, we could go back to the ABC of the Christian life. We realize how some of these things, they're not very big in our life. And we need more. So we admit that to God, A. We believe that Jesus has provided the way for forgiveness and new life for us. We call on God for help so we would have more of that in our life. The ABC. You could add a D. ABCD. Do something. Okay, you're not going to change if you don't do something. Another way that we can make every effort to have more of these things is look around and see people in church who are doing these things and learn from them. Ask them about it. How is it that you learn to care about people like you do? How is it that you keep going when it's difficult? Ask them and learn from them. That's how we can have more of these things. God gives us what we need for life with him through Jesus. And he says, get more of it. It's important that you get more of it, because otherwise it shows that you can't see and you've forgotten what really matters. So if you can have the Bible open again, next slide. We're going to read the rest of the chapter. It's on the same page. God has given us everything we need for life with him. So get more of it, is what he's saying. Two things I should have said. The first thing is, don't think that it's realistic this week to sort of try and do all of these things at once. Like, think about one of them. What one of those lists are you going to work at? Because there's lots to do. Just think about one of them. What do you think you could add to your life? And the second thing is, let's not think that next week we're going to come back to church and we're all going to be superheroes at this. In a year's time, we're probably going to be better. Okay, because it takes work and it takes time. But if we don't put any effort in, we're not listening to what God has said. God says, make every effort. So we've got to do something. Right, carrying on, verse 12, 2 Peter, chapter 1. So I will always, this is Peter who's writing the letter. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Which he's saying, it's not make-believe. Verse 19, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God gives us everything we need for life with him, so we can escape the rottenness, the defilement, the twisting of the desires in this world and have life with him. So get more of it. But that comes from knowing Jesus. So it's important that we know the truth about Jesus. Yeah, it's knowing Jesus that gives us everything we need. So we've got to know the truth. And Peter says he really cares about this for the Christians. What did he say he's in at the moment? He says he's living in something. Something so strange way of talking about himself, verses 12, 13, 14. Yeah, he's living in a tent. Peter says, I'm living in a tent. It doesn't mean he's camping. Verse 13, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. So he's saying his body is like a tent. And what he means is that a tent is not something for staying in for years and years, something for moving around in or leaving behind. It's not like a house or a flat. Peter's saying, I'm not going to stay in my body for long. I'm going to put it aside and leave the tent, verse 14, because I know that I will soon put it aside as... Sorry, lost my place. Verse 14, because I know I'll soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. So he's going to die. He's going to move home and live with Jesus forever. What's he doing before he dies? What's his bucket list? You heard about bucket lists? All the things I've got to fit into my life before the end? Verse 15. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. That's what Peter's putting all his time into. So what he knows he's going to die, but he wants the people he leaves behind to be sure about Jesus. To be sure that God has given us everything we need for life with him. And that he wants us to get more of that, that it should be changing us. He wants us to remember. Children, your Sunday school teachers want you to remember these things about God.
We in church keep telling you things about Jesus because we want you to remember. So it's important to be right about Jesus, isn't it? Who is Jesus? How can we know? Lots of people don't ask that question, don't bother with it. How can we get it right? Well, Peter says, you can know because Peter, who wrote this, and other people, they didn't make it up. They saw Jesus and they heard God's voice on the mountain. You see that, verse 16? For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power. We didn't make it up. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And verse 18, next couple of verses down. We ourselves heard this voice. Peter and his friends, they heard what God said the Father to Jesus. So we can be confident. And there's something else. So what Peter and others saw, they've written our New Testament, but there's the Old Testament as well, verse 20. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. And we can be more sure of it now Jesus has come. Because the Old Testament's got loads of promises about Jesus that have now come true. Okay, this is an interactive point of the talk. What are some of the promises that we have in the Old Testament that have come true with Jesus? What are some of the promises in the Old Testament that are now come true with Jesus? Where was Jesus going to be born? Bethlehem. And it says it in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it says, out of Bethlehem, a leader will come. Who would, which royal king would David be descended? I've told you the answer. Which royal king would Jesus be descended from? David, I gave it away. Yeah, that's in the Old Testament. That's right. Where would Jesus and his family have to run away to from the king to be safe? Egypt. And in the Old Testament, it says, I'll bring